Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, thank you for listening in to Manna Teaching Ministry tonight. This is Evangelist Brenda Amos coming to you live from the studios of Manna Teaching Ministry. And I just wanted to say, let's open up with a word of prayer. We're going to be talking about friendship tonight, the friendship of God. Amen. My pastor was talking this morning about being a friend of God, and God really dealt with my heart about this message. So I'm just praying that it touches your heart the way it touched mine. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you, Lord God, for walking in obedience to your word today. I don't always do that, but I thank you for this day. This is a new day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Father, I give you this service. I give you this broadcast. I give you the words in my mouth. I ask you to word it. Father, Lord God, that the anointing of God would overtake this broadcast. And Father, that the word will fall on the hearts of your people, Lord God, that they will be changed, Lord God, through the anointing of the Spirit and through your word, the power of your word, through the sword of the Spirit, God, that comes going and coming. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we give you glory and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints. Amen. We're coming to you tonight speaking on how to become a friend of God. Amen. And we're going to be reading to you the first, we're going to start in the first verse, the first scripture that God gave me this morning. And that is in Romans chapter 5, verse 6. So I want to give you a minute to turn over to Romans chapter 5, verse 6. And the Bible says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Now remember, we're talking about how to become a friend of God. The Bible says, "When we were yet without strength." Now this word strength means to be weak, and it's talking about spiritually, to be spiritually weak, or another translation says to be spiritually sick. So God let me know that we have been spiritually poisoned with sin. Sin is like a poison to our spirits. We have a disease, amen, that there is no cure except outside of Christ. Christ is the antidote. You know, when you take a poison in your system, the only thing that can heal you to keep you from dying in the natural is the antidote. And Jesus Christ is the antidote for the spiritual sin that's taking place in our spirits when we separated from God through disobedience. Amen. So now, whereas Adam and Eve could see God, they had eternal life. They didn't need to be born again because they were walking in eternal life. But their eyes were open. But the devil told them the day that you disobey God, your eyes are going to be open to the knowledge of good and evil. See, there's no evil. God developed evil so we could decide who we're going to serve. If God be God, serve him. If the devil be God, serve him. But before that, when they were in the garden, we had no need of that. But Adam chose, our natural father chose to disobey God and to listen to the voice of the enemy, and he acted on that. Not only did he listen, but he acted on that by eating or taking from the tree that God told him not to eat of. So therefore, his eyes were open to the knowledge of good and evil. And that is why we have sin in our life. We are born in sin and shaping in iniquity. And sin separates us from God. And this whole journey of life is so that we can be brought back to God. And that's what a Christian is supposed to do. A Christian is supposed to bring people back to the Lord. Amen. Just like somebody had to pray for you, somebody had to witness to you, somebody had to tell you about the plan of salvation and that you had a need. Because if you don't recognize that there is a need in your life, you don't realize that there is something missing, then you have no reason to search out. Amen. Now, God has his hands on us, from some of us from our youth, but we still have to be shown the way. That's where our work comes in. But talking about being a friend of God, the Bible says, in due time, in the process of time, or at the right season in life, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, we know this is talking about the Old Testament was leading up to the birth of Jesus Christ. Many prophecies were given in the Old Testament about the birth of Jesus. But not only that, but the sacrifice that the Jewish people had, the people of God had, period. The sacrifices that they did in the Old Testament all pointed, even the tabernacle pointed to what Moses had received when he went up on the mountaintop and God gave him the vision of the heavenly tabernacle, and he duplicated that on earth. And even that sacrifices and everything pointed to Jesus Christ's sacrifice. So the Bible says, we're back over in Romans chapter 5, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps, or peradventure, the Bible says in the King James Version, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God, and I thank God for that but, because there's always a but God somewhere in Scripture to let you know, but if it were not for the Lord on our side, the Bible says, where would I be? But God commended his love for us, in that, or showed forth his love for us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Praise the Lord. So even though some would dare to die for a good man, Jesus Christ died for us when we were enemies. Amen. And then we're going to see that. That he died for us when we were still in our sinful state, when we were enemies of God, walking in disobedience. Christ still died for the sins of the world. Amen. Verse 10. You know, I was on Facebook this morning talking to a sister, and she was saying that you can be gay and be a Christian. And I spoke out, of course, and said, no, you can't. And I came under, you know, attack, not attack so much, but I came into a disagreement, because the church now is teaching inclusion. And this is a last day heretical teaching that I believe is going to doom a lot of people to hell, because, and we're going to get into this a little bit later on in the message, but the doctrine of inclusion is to invite the gays into the church and to tell them in so many words, you don't have to change. You can continue on in your gay lifestyle and still be saved, you know. And that's not biblical. That's not scriptural. That's not the truth, the word of God. So the doctrine of inclusion is something that's taken over. Even the sanctified churches are teaching this doctrine of inclusion. I've heard preachers talk about it. Come as you are, you know, and the homosexuals. And when you preach on homosexuality now, you come under attack. And we're going to talk about that, because Jesus prophesied that that would happen. But anyway, in verse 10, we're back over in Romans. The Bible says, for when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. There's no way to be reconciled. My pastor taught this morning about the bridge. Jesus Christ is the bridge that takes us over sin and takes us to God. And I love that illustration this morning, Pastor Meredith. But he said, the Bible says, and this is one of the scriptures I think that he preached on this morning, but it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 10, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more, being reconciled by his death, now we shall be saved by his life. Amen. And again, some would dare to die for their friend. We're going to talk about being a friend of God today. But Christ died for us while we were still his enemies, or estranged from God. We're going to talk about friendship a little bit. In Proverbs 18 and 24, the Bible says, a man that desires friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, we're talking about how to become a friend of God. And the Bible says that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I believe he's talking about Jesus right here. Now, friend in the Old Testament, Hebrew, is the word Ahab. And it means one that you love in a familiar relationship or a family relationship, friendship or brotherly love. This is what a friend is. But the Bible says if you desire to be friends, you must show yourself friendly. If you desire to have friends, you must show yourself friendly. Let's turn over to James 2 and 23. Another scripture talking about friendship. The scripture was fulfilled, the Bible says, in James 2 and 23, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Now, righteousness here is talking about right standing or right belief, to believe God. They say he believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. He was called the friend of God. Why? Because he believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now, friend here is the philos kind of friend or companion. He was a companion of God. That means fellowship. You know, so many times we talk about fellowship with God, but we don't talk about the friendship of God. Yes, it is possible to be friends with God. As a matter of fact, that's what God wants. He wants friendship. He wants companionship. He desires to have friendship. He loves us so much, he just wants our time. And that's something that the enemy really fights, us giving God our time, because that's what's important to God. He doesn't want your money. He doesn't need your money. He said, the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. He said, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. But he said He desires fellowship. Amen. He desires friendship. Amen. That's why I believe that he came in the cool of the day and talked to Adam every day at a certain time at 6 o'clock. No, not necessarily 6 o'clock, but when the sun was dawning, the Bible says at the sundown time, God came and talked to Adam. Amen. So, but righteousness comes through believing God, which is the invisible God. How can you believe in something that you can't see? It takes faith. Amen. It takes faith to know that God is able. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, he that cometh to God must first believe that he is. That means you looking outside of your natural limitations. You must believe that he is, that he exists, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. We're going to talk about righteousness in just a moment. Righteousness in the eyes of God is not what some of you have been taught in the church. What makes you righteous before God? Well, one scripture here talks about believing God, and God will impute or put on you the righteousness of God when you believe God. Amen. In James 4:4, the Bible says, we're still talking about friendship. Ye adulterers and adulteress, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Now, why would he say this? You know, we were talking about homosexuality earlier, and it's adulterers and adulteress. All of it is the same. Spirit of perversion, sexual immorality, fornication, homosexuality, all of that falls under the same category. Amen. It's sin, sexual promiscuity. Amen. So adulterers and adulteress could fall under fornication, homosexuality, any of that. He said, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Now, the reason why is I believe that Paul put this in the same verse, in verse 4, is because when you start preaching on sexual sin, the devil wants you to become a friend of the world, so people will not hate on you. Amen. People will not speak against you. When you become a friend of the world, then you will become accepting of sin in the church, sin in the body of Christ. The Bible says he's coming back for a church without a spot or a wrinkle, saints. That means we cannot be tolerant of sin in any form, whether it's sexual sin. But the Bible says all sins that a man do are outside the body, but a sin of fornication, he that committed fornication, when Paul was talking to the Corinthian church, sins against his own body. And our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So we sin against our own body when we commit adultery, fornication, or homosexuality. Amen. So he said, do you not know that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So the church, he's talking to the church. James is talking to the church here. And he said, if you will be a friend of the world, that means if you don't preach the truth because of what somebody is saying, then, or because you want to become a friend of the world, if you don't preach the truth, then you are becoming an enemy of God because you're not preaching the truth. Amen. And going down in verse 8 in St. James, the same chapter 4, it's the Bible says, draw nigh or near to God, and he will draw nearer to you. Amen. So this is talking about becoming a friend of God. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. It didn't say get close to the preacher. It didn't say get close to the pastor. I mean, that's all good. You know, we don't shun the pastor, of course, but we don't have to. Some people want to be all up in the pastor's face or in that inner circle with the pastor. No, he said draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. The next part of the verse says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. James did not pull any punches here. He let them know, you are a sinner. He said, cleanse your hands and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Amen. So he preached the truth. He didn't want concern about who liked him and who didn't like him. He preached the truth. Amen. He said, draw nigh to God, he will draw nearer to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Now let's go over to Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Still talking about friendship, but we're also going to talk about being a friend of the world. In Matthew 6:24, the Bible says, a man cannot serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, and we're going to talk about this, but I want to finish reading it first. He said, either you're going to hate the one and love the other, or you're going to hold to the one and despise the other. He said, you cannot serve, now this is Jesus talking, you cannot serve God and mammon, hallelujah, Mammon here, if you go back into the original Greek or Arabic, it says wealth. Mammon means wealth, treasure, or riches. This is another element that I see the church falling into. We are so becoming so concerned with wealth. We are so concerned with having treasure or having gifts with, or having, you know, things. We are so concerned with having riches. And there's nothing wrong with being rich because the Bible says money answers all things. But riches as opposed to God. You have to choose whom you're going to serve. Are you going to go after wealth, riches, and treasures, or are you going to go after God and let God give you what he wants you to have? Everybody's not meant to be rich. Everybody couldn't handle being rich. Some people would backslide. Jesus said, told the rich young ruler, it's hard for a rich man to be saved. I trust God. Lord, if you got riches for me, then I'm definitely going to get them because I'm following you. But if riches is not in my game plan on earth, if I just want to be comfortable, if you just sustain me till you come back for me, that I'd be happy with that, because I'm not going after things. Amen. I don't have to have a huge house. I don't have to. I want a nice car. I want a new car. I want a car that nobody ever drove. But you know what? I even gave that to the Lord. I said, God, I'm happy. I try not to complain about anything, because God do not like when we complain, saints. We have to be happy. The children of Israel, as long as they were being sustained, God blessed them. When they started complaining about being sustained, they said, we were doing better when we were in Egypt. We had leeks and onions and vegetables. Now all we have is this manna. They didn't look at the sustaining power of God. They did not look at the fact that God was keeping them. They just complained about what they used to have, and they went back into it. Just like Lot's wife. The Bible said, Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Amen. She looked back into Sodom. The angel told them, do not look back. Amen. But the woman looked back, and the Bible says she was turned into a pillar of salt. Why? Because her heart, Sodom, was still in her. You could take the girl out of Sodom, but you couldn't take Sodom out of her. So she looked back, and she turned into a pillar of salt, because the desire of Sodom, the things of sins that was done in Sodom, she enjoyed. She missed them as she looked back, and she turned into a pillar of salt. So, I said all this to say that you cannot serve two masters. Either you're going to hate the one and love the other. That's what God is letting us know. You cannot go after wealth and riches over God. Amen. You have to follow God. And if that's in your plan, God's plan for you, you're going to get it. But don't seek after riches. Amen. A man cannot serve wealth and God at the same time. Now, the Beatitudes, we're going to talk about the Beatitudes for the next few minutes. And the Beatitudes teach us how to shape our attitude toward God and how to become a friend of God. And that's what this message is about, how to become a friend of God. So let's turn over to Matthew chapter 5, verse 2. And the Bible says, Jesus opened his mouth. And now I really want to talk about this. What does it mean when he says he opened his mouth? Let me turn over to Matthew chapter 5. I really want to read this, the entire verse. He opened his mouth and taught them, saying. Now, I asked God, I said, Lord, why did you have to say you opened your mouth? We know if you speak, you're going to open your mouth anyway. Why did you emphasize he opened his mouth? And I look up that word mouth there, and it means spoke from his heart or soul. Amen. Jesus opened his mouth and spoke some truths that were from his heart and soul, and he taught them. This word, when he says open his mouth, it also means the edge of a sword. Amen. The Bible, we know the word of God is a two-edged sword. It cuts going and coming. So Jesus opened his mouth, and he spoke from his heart and his soul, and he taught the disciples some basic principles that every Christian needs to know. I was just listening to a preacher on the radio a few minutes ago, and he was saying about the Beatitudes, that somebody said if all you had was the Beatitudes, you wouldn't need anything else. You could be saved just from the Beatitudes. I don't know how true that is, but it's a powerful point. Amen. The Bible says, and Matthew 4 and 4. Before we get into the Beatitudes, I want to talk about this. The Bible says, and we're still talking about the words that came out of Jesus' mouth when he opened his mouth. It's the same word they used in Matthew 4 and 4. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, talking about the heart of God, the mouth of God, the soul, you know, the everything. This is the truth. Words. This is something that you need to really pay attention to when it says it comes out of the mouth of God. Jesus opened his mouth and taught them in Matthew 5 in the Beatitudes. And in the, also another word, in Matthew 12:34, on the same point, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So here we have Jesus speaking things that's in his heart. Now, Matthew 5, Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And God dealt with me about the Beatitudes last week, and I'm so glad he brought this back to my mind today, because I really want to teach on the Beatitudes. Matthew 5, this is saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, what does this word poor in spirit mean? It means to be humble, to be meek, to be, it's the opposite of being proud. Blessed are the poor in spirit. So blessed are me, blessed are the humble. The Bible says Moses was the most humble man that ever walked the earth, or the most meekest man that ever lived. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, when we go through the Beatitudes, I want you to see the first part where it says blessed are things that we're supposed to strive after on earth. And so we're going to look at it like this. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That means if you, when you're on this earth, you have to strive to be humble, strive to be meek. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Why? Because you have a reward in heaven. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So the first part of the sentence is what you are to strive after on earth. And the reason being is because of what you're going to receive in heaven from God. So let's talk about this. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Okay, let's go to the next one. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, this also is comparing earth to heaven. Blessed are they that mourn on earth, hallelujah, for they shall be comforted. Where? In heaven. Not only in heaven, but by the God of heaven. Amen. God will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you want room enough to receive. This is not always talking about money. This is talking about blessings. Blessed are they that mourn on earth, for they shall be comforted. God knows how to comfort you. As a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit, parakletos, is the Greek word for comforter. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. Amen. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted by heaven. Amen. There's a peace that only God can give. There's a peace, hallelujah, and a joy, hallelujah. The Bible says in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. Praise God. So blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. They shall have peace. They shall be joyful. This is the joy and the peace that only comes from heaven, not of earth. What's the next one say? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So blessed are the meek. It's a blessing to be meek on earth because you're going to inherit the earth, which is a blessing again from heaven. We're talking about the new earth that's going to come down. Book of Revelation, it talks about a new heaven and a new earth. So we're going to inherit the earth. It also talks about us ruling and reigning on this new earth. So blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What's the next one say? Blessed are they that do hunger or thirst after righteousness. Hallelujah, for they shall be filled. So blessed are you that do hunger or thirst after the things of God, after righteousness. What do we say about righteousness? That's faith and belief in God. Remember, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. So blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness or belief. You hunger after to be close to God, draw near to God. Remember that scripture in James chapter 4, to draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Blessed are you that hunger and thirst after righteousness. You have to have faith. You have to hunger for the faith and the belief in God that will bring you in his presence, that will bring you close to God, that will lead you to become a friend, for you shall be filled. If you yearn for spiritual things, hallelujah, you shall be filled. This is a promise of God. He did not say seek natural things. He says seek ye the kingdom of God, and all of these things, hallelujah, shall be added unto you, for you shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful on earth, for they shall obtain mercy. So on earth, blessed are the merciful on earth. If you are merciful to your brothers and sisters on earth, you shall obtain mercy from heaven or from God when you need it. The Bible says his mercies are renewed every morning. Hallelujah. He is a God of mercy and grace and truth. But that mercy is not, he said, if you don't show mercy, you're not going to receive mercy. Amen. He said you reap what you sow. So if you show mercy, sow mercy or sow it in the earth realm, you're going to receive it from God in heaven just when you need it most. Praise God. Blessed are the pure in heart on earth. Remember I said on earth, the first part, for they shall see God in heaven. That's coming again from heaven. You cannot see God on earth. Of course, we know you can't see God. God told Moses, no man shall see my face and live. So what is he talking about? He said, blessed are the pure in heart. So if you have a pure heart or seek after a pure heart on earth, then you shall see God. Amen. In your eyes. Amen. Your spiritual eyes are going to become open to the truth, and you shall see God with your own eyes. Amen. Not in the natural, but in the spiritual. We're talking about spiritual things. Hallelujah. The things Jesus spoke about here on earth are things we should seek after while we're living on earth. This is how we rule our day. This is how we guide our life. Amen. Through the Beatitudes. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers. The Bible says become a peacemaker. If at all possible, the Bible says live peaceably with all men. So blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. That means that your names are going to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name is going to be written in heaven. Why? Because you are a peacemaker. You are one that seeks after peace with all men. Amen. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Remember, we talked about righteousness being your belief and your faith in God. Amen. So when you have belief in God and you have faith in God, and it makes you want to preach the truth, it makes you want to speak the words that God has spoken. When you do speak the truth, you're going to become persecuted. Blessed are they that are persecuted for their belief in God. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake on earth. That means that you're going to be persecuted for believing in God, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Don't worry about people not liking you. Don't worry about standing alone. If you stand for the truth, you will walk alone. You will not be liked by the majority of people. You know why? Because it's a lonely walk sometimes. Most people, there's more people going to hell than is going to heaven. I still believe that. I want everybody to be saved, but everybody's not going to be saved because everybody's not going to sell out. Everybody's not going to sell out and give God their 100%. Everybody is not going to totally sell out. Jesus said you're not worthy to enter into the kingdom if you don't give God your all. Amen. So the majority of people are not being taught the necessity of selling out to God. So, but if you stand for the truth, sometimes you will have to walk alone. You will not be liked by the majority of people. Elijah was a man that spoke truth. Elijah was a man that stood for God, for righteousness. And you know what he said? He felt like he was the only one left. But just when he felt like he was the only one left, God's reminding him, I have 6,000 have not bowed the knee to Baal. Elijah couldn't see those 6,000, but God promised him, I do have 6,000 have not bowed the knee to Baal. And God let me know when I read this scripture today. He said, ask the people, have you bowed the knee to Baal while attending church every Sunday? Have you bowed the knee to Baal? Amen. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely or lie on you for my sake. That means you're standing for something. Amen. For great is your reward in heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. If nobody's coming against you, then you must be doing something wrong. You're not doing everything that you could be doing when everybody likes you. I heard another pastor say that thing. Pastor Corey said this one time. If everybody likes you, then I question your faith and your walk with God. Because if you're really doing what God told you to do, everybody's not going to like you. It's going to bring persecution in some area. But the Bible says, great is your reward in heaven when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely or lie on you. 13 says, you are the salt of the earth. That means as long as you hold on to the truth, you are the salt of the earth. But it also says if the salt has lost its savor, what good is it for but to be trampled underfoot by men? So in verse 20, and I'm almost finished, the Bible says, accept your righteousness or your belief in God. Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They did things to be seen of men. They were hypocritical. Jesus called them whitest sepulchres full of dead men's bones or graveyard. They prayed on street corners and gave alms to be seen of men. Amen. So he said, except your righteousness or your belief in God exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. In verse 20, this is what Jesus said in Matthew 5:20. Except your righteousness exceed that of the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. So, saints, I hope this message bless you today. I pray that you receive something out of the word. Amen. And I was just walking in obedience. I thank God for you listening in. I want you to begin to share the messages, amen, post them on Facebook, on your Twitter page, on your accounts. Just begin to share the word, amen, and pray for Minister Brenda. Pray for me that the word of God would not be bound. God bless you, and I love you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray blessings on your life, peace, and love. God bless you. Good night.